Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hi, reading from the King of Books, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 1, entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, text number 4 and 5. They're in one verse in purport, but number 4 is in the board, so we'll just chant that together, and then I'll go through the rest of it.
Sri Rishiruvacha Saropristam Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Sarupristam Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Sarupristam Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam. Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmya Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Sri Sirvacha Sarupristam Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Bhagavatam Yahatyam Bhakti Vardhanam Sri Shivacha Sarupristha Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Rishivacha Sarupristam Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam. Ladies, please. Shri Rishivacha Sarupristha Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Yivishiravacha Sarupristha Maharaja Harishcharitam Adbhutam Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam. So I'll read the fifth verse. Gyate paramam punyam rishibhir naradadibhi natva krishnaya munaye katayishye hare katam. So synonyms, please repeat. Sri Rishu Vacha. The sage Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Saru, excellent. Pristam, inquiry. Maharaja, O great king. Hare, of the Supreme Lord. Hari, charitam, activities. Adbhutam, wonderful.
Yat. From which? Bhagavata. Of the Lord's devotee. Prahlad. Mahatmyam. The glories. Bhagavat Bhakti. Devotion to the Lord. Vardhanam. Increasing. Giyate is sung. Paramam, foremost. Punyam, pious. Rishibi, by the sages. Narada Adibi, headed by Sri Narada Muni. Natva, after offering obeisances. Krishnaya, to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Munaye, the great sage. Katayishye, I shall narrate. Hare, of Hari. Katam, the topics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of His devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari." Purport. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami offers his respectful obeisances, Krishnaya Munaye, which means to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Dvaipayana literally means one who has the shelter of two islands. That's how Vyasadeva was conceived. Which is important to note because there's lots of persons who claim the name Vyas. But we know specifically Dvaipayana Vyas, Srila Vyasadeva, who's our Param Guru and the propounder of the Vedic literature. So that's why the name Dvaipayana Vyas is there. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. Shukadeva Goswami's spiritual master is his father, Vyasadeva, and therefore he first offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, and then begins describing topics of Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, we must take it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should always engage in Krishna Katha by chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about Him. That is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let's read the translation again. The great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of His devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari." So once upon a time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to enjoy His own pastimes, in order to enjoy the glorification of His own names, of His own devotional service, took sannyas, which is a long story. And then he tried to go to Vrindavan, which is a very long story too. But at some point he was sent to Jagannath Puri on the request of his mother, who was very much attached to him. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling from Nadia, Godadesh, as it's called, down to Jagannath Puri in Orissa All along the while, he's enjoying the chorus of his own names. He sings, Hari Haraya Namakrishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. This is actually what he was singing. He was singing the same song. He'd also sing, Krishna, 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 hey. As far as we know, Mahaprabhu actually composed that bhajan. Is that right, Surya Prabhu? So there we go. It's very bona fide. So he's singing this chorus of his own names. He's got his whole repertoire of devotees coming with him. Lord Nityananda was there. And so many followers are coming with him to Jagannath Puri, where he's going to make his headquarters, his base, so to speak. And along the way, you know, he sees the temple in the distance. I've personally never been to Jagannath Puri, but from what I understand from the pastime as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he could see the temple. It's quite large. It's a very predominating structure. He could see it from a distance and become filled with such ecstasy, sort of running towards the temple very, very fast. Like sometimes we see in the morning, some of the bhaktas trying to make it on time for the 7 o'clock darshan, they're literally running down the street, which is an ecstatic symptom. So he runs towards the temple of Lord Jagannath in Orissa, and he loses Lord Nityananda and some of the other devotees. They couldn't catch up with him because he was in such ecstasy to go see Lord Jagannath for the first time in his manifest Leela. And as Mahaprabhu runs inside the temple and he sees Jagannath and Baladev and Subhadra, Maharani, for the first time he becomes overwhelmed with devotion and collapses, and all of his bodily symptoms stop. In fact, the temple guards at the time thought that he might be dead. There was a prominent Mayavadi scholar there at the time. His name is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And at this point in his manifest activities, he's, you know, a topmost impersonalist. He has thousands of disciples. He's a great scholar. He knows the Vedas through and through. But he made the mistake, as Mayavadis do, of judging the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by external mundane symptoms. He saw Mahaprabhu collapse in ecstasy and he thought, ooh, this sannyasi. Well, first he checked to make sure he was still alive. He put a little cotton swab by his nostrils and see he's still breathing. And he realized this sannyasi, he's definitely showing some symptoms of incredible transcendental ecstasy. But he's also just a young man. And he's very attractive. He's very beautiful. And unfortunately, he's taken his sannyas initiation in a line, a sampradaya, which isn't very first class, not a very high class disciplic succession. According to his standards as a Mayavadi, it's like, it's very external, you know. He had taken his initiation, the Saraswati Sampradaya, and therefore his, you know, his perspective on the Vedic literature is innately superior. Very external, very mundane, actually. And so he's judging Mahaprabhu like this. At the same time, he's very much attracted, as anyone would be, to this incredible form and personality who just entered into the temple. And so, showing compassion to Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he picked up Lord Chaitanya with the help of some servants and took him to his own home. Before Lord Nityananda and all the other devotees made it to the temple. And when they came in, of course, Lord Nityananda was also overwhelmed with ecstasy, kind of fainted, and the devotees had to catch him and fan him and so many things like that. And then they began to inquire. We were with an incredible sannyasi who beat us to the temple. Where is he now? And they were informed that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has him in his home. And so they went there. And Mahaprabhu was completely unconscious during all of this, by the way. An incredible conversation takes place. It's going to be relevant to this verse, I promise, at some point, hopefully. An incredible conversation takes place between one of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopinath Acharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Gopinath Acharya comes and they're inquiring about the presence of the Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you know, this sannyasi is certainly very ecstatic. He's certainly an incredible personality. And I fear for him because he's taken his initiation in kind of a, you know, not such a good Sampradaya, and because he's, you know, very young and attractive, his renunciation might not be very strong. It's very possible he could become bewildered and dismayed. And if you like, I'm very willing to reinitiate him as my disciple, naturally. And that'll make everything more first class. And I think everyone will be better and happier that way. And Gopinath Acharya was very offended, being a pure devotee of the Lord. He told Sarvabhauma Acharya, "You don't know anything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't know anything about the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's now residing in your home. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. He's celebrated in the Vedas as such. And persons who are ignorant in that regard, they find the conclusions of knowledgeable men to be very difficult to understand." So Gopinath Acharya was making the statement to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all of his thousands of disciples, God has now come into your home, and you can't even recognize him. But then the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made a very intelligent inquiry, question, even as Mayavadis. They say, "Well, what is the proof that you claim this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Person? What is the proof? Back it up with Shastra Pramana. What is the evidence?" he was saying. And this is a really important point, because in real spiritual circles, you always back up what you're saying with evidence from the Shastra to make some statement. There's authority behind it. There's a certain significance, an essential significance, in the authority of Shastra Praman. And at this point, it might be interesting for us to consider how much are we really in that same category of recognizing and appreciating the significance of the Shastra, the authority of the Shastra, and those who are authorized disseminators and teachers of the Shastra. It's relevant that after Gopinath Acharya gave some evidences, still the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saying, "We accept as pramana, as ultimate authority, anuman," which means logic, reason. It has to be reasonable. This is very similar to us, actually. Very similar. I can say, perhaps speaking mostly for myself, maybe some people resonate, that in a similar sense, and especially in Kali Yuga, and not necessarily just amongst those who are outside of the Krishna consciousness movement, but even within the devotional setting, we can have this tendency to kind of take Krishna consciousness and Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a very arbitrary, personal thing, you know? It kind of resonates with me. This is the sort of language that becomes very common these days. As long as it resonates with you, you know, it feels good. It's my own personal thing. Other people have their thing. I've got my thing. It's all just, you know, at the end of the day, as long as it feels good for you, then that's what's significant, right? And so you keep doing it. You can agree? You know, because it's like, sure, there's chanting. Chanting's nice, you know, when you feel like it. And prasadam's usually pretty good most of the time. And hanging out with devotees is all right most of the time. And, you know, right now it feels good to follow the regulative principles, especially because I got really burned out from the party scene a few years ago. And so, therefore, let it go on. Therefore, Krishna consciousness seems authoritative, significant. If that's our real position, like these Mayavadis were pointing out, although they're doing it in a more philosophical way, then actually we're always on very shaky ground. We're always in a very harrowing and sensitive position. If our only perspective of Krishna consciousness is that, well, if it feels good, then let it keep going, then it's hard for us to become very, very devoted, to become very firm, fixed. We all have experience of how much the mind and the senses lead us astray, right? And so that can't be the foundation of understanding the Supreme Person, of understanding God. Generally speaking, people today will tell you that real spirituality, it comes from your heart, right? I see a big smile on Eric. That means it's resonating with someone. See, we're resonating here. That's the important part, resonation. I say real spirituality comes from your heart, right? Does everyone agree? Anyone heard that before? That's true. Real spirituality comes from your heart, but in accordance with the Shastra, with the scripture. And this is a sort of position to understanding transcendental knowledge that can be very hard for people in Kali Yuga to understand. That maybe I don't know so well what's in my heart. Maybe I don't know so well what's going on within my mind. We all have experience of our heart leading us astray, putting our heart into something, someone. This feels right. I know this is right. Investing my love in this person, only to later be disappointed and frustrated. So if that's our approach to Krishna consciousness, that can be very dangerous, very fragile. So alternatively, there is the Shastra. It's the evidence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And regardless of whether we're feeling up or down on a particular day, there is that evidence. But we can invest our hearts in that evidence. Those who have made a thorough study of the nectar of devotion can humbly admit, there's a lot more potential from the heart's activities than I thought. A lot more. But take some humility. Maybe I don't know so well what's going on within my heart, what's going on within my mind. Maybe I don't even know how I'm feeling and why. Right? So there's a lot more potential for our heart. If we read in the Nectar of Devotion, you can see all of that there. So Krishna consciousness is not based upon, you know, the sort of thoughts that are running around within our mind, or the desires that are lurking within the lagoon of our heart. We'd be in a lot of trouble if it were, actually. Always be up one day, down the next. Alternatively, there is the Shastra. It's the evidence. It's authoritative. And it takes an incredible person to accept that over and above the sentimentality, which is so prominent in modern so-called spirituality. That whatever you feel, you know, at a given time is right. Everybody's got a little bit of something. You know, everyone's got a little bit of knowledge. You just kind of, you know, I do the Krishna thing. Everybody else has got their thing. And I guess even though there's some differences, it all just kind of comes together. That's not necessarily the case. There is the most comprehensive and authentic understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what Gopinathacharya was saying to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We accept as evidence persons who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Now you can make the statement, obviously, well, that's just sectarian. That's just your belief. The Krishna consciousness way is the most full and authentic understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're just being sectarian, right? Certainly someone would say that to you. But why say something like that offhand? Why not examine and see? As a human being, you actually have the responsibility to do such. Who has the most comprehensive understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And to accept that authority, that authenticity. And it's not equal across the board. That doesn't mean that we should be criticizing other theistic religions, but we need to recognize that their understanding is lacking. How do you explain the intimate desire for relationship within the living entities if it's not there in the Supreme Person? How can you explain that mothers love their children, partners love each other, there's intimacy? If it's not there in the Supreme Person, in God, how can you explain that? Do you find that sort of information in the Bible? In the Quran? No. You only find things like God is angry and he punishes. Some fellow was just telling me on the promenade the other day how God specifically hates Jewish people. He was very convinced of this. I don't know. I mean, it's between them. I didn't want to like get involved. But this is their only understanding of the nature of the Supreme Person. So how can they explain things like desire, relationship, if it's not there in the Supreme? Where do you find that information? Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we have as the responsibility to find the most comprehensive information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accept it as authentic and authoritative. Failing to do so, you know, persons can make all sorts of justifications saying, oh, you know, you've just got your thing, you're sectarian, or everybody's just got a little bit of knowledge and it's all one and it all just works out. You just got to find whatever resonates for you. But that sort of whimsical and uncommitted approach to spirituality, Krishna says, it's kama karata. And he says something very interesting about it that we can observe objectively. It's not a sectarian statement on the part of Krishna. He says, ye shastra virim utsrija vartate kama karata nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He says, one who rejects shastra and who just acts whimsically, kama karata, willy-nilly. I'm feeling like it now. Right now I kind of feel like devotional service. right now I kind of feel like following the regulative principles. Feels right for me. But, you know, next year, who can tell? We all just have to take it day by day, you know. We'll have to see how I'm feeling next year. One who's acting in this way, kama karata, whimsically, he says, nasa siddhim avapnoti. It's not just that they don't attain perfection. People argue, well, okay, so I won't be perfect. What's the big deal? You know, who is perfect anyway? But he says, nasukam naparam gatim. They don't even attain happiness. That's something that you can see all around you. They don't even attain any happiness without accepting as some sort of authority the scriptural reference, the most comprehensive understanding of God. You can't even attain happiness acting whimsically, acting sentimentally with the senses and the mind. And so this is really the disease of Kali Yuga, this arbitrariness, I'm not even sure if that's a word, this arbitrary approach to spirituality, this whimsical sort of personal feel for it. It's a disease in Kali Yuga. It's a weakness, really, that we can't find authentic, authoritative knowledge and accept it, abide by it. Because people are in ignorance, they naturally assume everybody else is in ignorance, right? So they say, oh, who can say about the Supreme? It's undefinable, it's incomprehensible, right? Isn't that the really poetic language people like to use today? It's undefinable. Words cannot touch that Supreme. Who can say? That means it's undefinable by you, incomprehensible to you. That's what they're saying. Atmanam manyate jagat. Because they're in ignorance, they assume everyone else must be in ignorance. Nobody must have complete understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the disease of Kali Yuga. And that's why we're working so hard to give people the opportunity to see comprehensive, authoritative knowledge of God by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. When they read it, then their tune will change. And they'll see, somebody seems to know what they're talking about. Somebody seems to have comprehensive understanding. And what is a symptom of that? Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of materialistic way of life. This is objective. It's not sectarian. It's not subjective. When they get the opportunity to read Srila Prabhupada's books, their tune can change. That's why we're working so hard to do that. Because they've never come in contact with that sort of information, with such authenticity. Naturally, they go around saying, oh, who can know? Everybody's got a little bit of knowledge. You just kind of like mix it all up in a pot in the spiritual marketplace. You buy a little bit of ingredients here and there. You make your own sort of stew. What that means ultimately is that I'm just accepting my mind and senses as the judge. However I feel on a particular time, that's what's authentic, that's what's authoritative. And that's nothing more than animal life in a very complicated sense. Therefore, it takes a very high caliber person to really appreciate that the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita specifically, it's not just about information, but it's about dealing with a real blockage in the heart, accepting an authority superior to our mind and senses. That's why Krishna says in the very end of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, really powerful verse. He says, Tasmad agyana sambhutam pritstam jnana sinatmana chitvainam sankshayam yogam atishto tishto bharata. Very powerful verse. Krishna is pointing out that it's not just a matter of being uninformed. It's a matter of being willfully uninformed by refusing to accept authoritative knowledge, making complete use of it. He says, Tasmad agyana sambhutam pritstam jnana sinatmana chitvainam sankshayam. The subject of the verse is sankshaya, doubt. Like we just heard in the previous verses, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, please relieve my doubt. So he says that this sankshaya, this doubt about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as my eternal relationship, as his servant, this doubt, it's agyana sambhutam. It's born out of ignorance. In other words, if someone who's actually informed of Krishna, you can't simultaneously be doubtful. But someone who really knows about Krishna, has heard authoritative information about Krishna, cannot simultaneously be doubtful. Krishna himself says that. Etam vibhutam yogam cha mama yovati tatvata so vikalpena yogina yujite natra sankshaya. One who's actually informed about my opulences, my glory, they can't be doubtful. It's not possible. And yet, why is it that some of us, again speaking for myself, read Srila Prabhupada's books all the time, and yet still there's doubt? He says, Ritstam, the Samkshayas, Ritstam. It's standing in the heart. Like all those things that we find very precious and very dear, and that we keep locked up inside, in the heart, this doubt is one of them. We like to maintain that doubt. We like to keep that doubt, because it's that doubt about Krishna that legitimizes our attempts at sense gratification. Even under the guise of a so-called Krishna conscious lifestyle, we maintain that doubt about Krishna by not accepting as authoritative and applying the instructions of authoritative persons and Shastra over and above the influence of our mind and senses. We maintain that doubt. Fritstam, standing there in the heart, is something very valuable. Because if we didn't have that doubt about Krishna, how could we go on with sense gratification? If we were really convinced about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm His eternal servant, that's my only happiness, then how could we go on with sense gratification? Fritstam. And so Krishna is describing a caliber of person who's really quite incredible. He says, Gyanasinatmina chitvainam sankshayam yogam. You have to recognize that this information about Krishna, this jnana, this transcendental knowledge, this wisdom, is like a weapon. And you need to fight through this doubt. You need to fight for it. And the implication there, the indication from Krishna, is that it's not necessarily going to always tally with your mind and senses. It's not necessarily always going to feel good. A lot of the things that we'll read in Srila Prabhupada's books are very challenging. That's why we like to have these little forums where we can all get together and get political. Right? Because it's challenging. So Krishna is saying, Gyan Asina. Asina is like a weapon, a sword. You have to utilize this knowledge about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports, especially. And Chitvainam, cut out that doubt. He says to Arjuna, Atishtotishta Bharata, stand up and fight. We can understand in the context that he's not talking about pull out your arrows and fight. Arjuna is very confident in fighting. That's something that's very simple for him. I mean, he defeated even Lord Shiva in battle. He's saying you have to fight this doubt which is in the heart, this weakness of heart, by taking seriously authoritative spiritual knowledge and not acting whimsically according to the senses. That's why it's very important to hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees, taking guidance, guru, sadhu, and shastra. It's not just a matter that I kind of like read it and I get a little bit of a buzz and therefore it's all good. Now that means taking guidance, which means sometimes we're going to hear things which doesn't satisfy the mind and the senses, but we have to stick to some guidance. Prabhupada says that is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person, hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees. Naturally means that you can't just be within your own mind, you know. In the association of devotees, you can't just live within your own little world, your own little bubble. It becomes very apparent in our day-to-day affairs that I need to learn this personalism. I need to become congruent with the understanding, with the perspective of other devotees. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. So Krishna is saying, Gyanasina, Chitvainam, cut out this doubt from the heart. Don't be so weak of heart. And the symptom, the objective symptom that is really worthwhile, that is really working, is described in this verse and purport. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of materialistic way of life. So if we find ourselves in a position in our Krishna consciousness that maybe I don't feel like the miseries of material existence are being counteracted, we should look at the quality of our hearing and chanting. Are we taking guidance, or are we just doing things whimsically within our own mind? Are we taking authoritative instruction from a bona fide spiritual master, or am I considering my mind and senses to be my spiritual master? There's an incredible verse that says, Ashesha sanklesha samam virate guna nuvada shravanam murare kimva punaschat charanar vindam paraga seva ratir atmalabdha. Which I can't even remember who speaks this. I think it's Maitreya Tividura. Almost certain it's Maitreya Tividura. And he says, for those who simply hear and chant about Krishna, very easily all the miseries of material existence are destroyed. Just by hearing and chanting, what to speak of for those who actually have a taste for serving the flavorful dust of his lotus feet. That's what's said there. Paraga seva ratir. There's dust at the Lord's lotus feet and it has flavor. but you can only taste that flavor by service. So that's the symptom that we're really hearing and chanting in the proper way. The miseries of materialistic way of life are destroyed and one becomes actually happy. So this is one of the points I was hoping to discuss. And I don't mean to criticize anyone. I feel very strongly about this because especially for myself, I find that this resonates with me. That it's very hard to really take seriously reading Srila Prabhupada's books. You know, Srila Prabhupada himself said in a few situations, an hour a day. I can say for myself, I don't always pull it off. My spiritual master personally told me 2 hours every day. Very rarely does it happen. And why is that? Is it that I don't have 2 hours in the day? Or are we actually fearful? Are we hesitant to really take seriously the statements being made there? It's a real challenge to our mind and senses. It's a real challenge to the heart. And it takes an incredible person to meet that challenge, as Krishna is saying. Atishto tishta bharata. Stand up and fight. So thank you very much for listening. I hope someone can agree with some of those points. If there's any challenges or retorts or questions, feel free now. Yes, Amal Bhakta Prabhu, please save me.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. There is a verse that says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. In this verse, it explains that Krishna consciousness cannot be obtained for devotional service for millions of births of pious activities, but it can only be obtained by lolian, like eagerness. And so sometimes we see that many devotees join, many people join, and they're, for some reason they just can't get it. They understand the philosophy, they like certain aspects, but they can fit their niche or that service that they would like. And is it that due to what you were mentioning, the written, what is that word that you use? The doubt? Or the something that you
Krishna
say there?
Krishna says samkshaya. Standing in the heart.
Will that be one of the things that they're saving it, that they're not giving themselves totally? Because the other thing will be like, you might be thinking that some people, due to previous activities, they have a good karma, they come very easily, they perform devotional service in previous lives, you can think like that, and they pick it up easy. But some other ones, they have to just accept, that's not me, therefore I just have to tolerate or just wait, be perseverance, and maybe someday, what will be the attitude?
So I understood your question correctly, say sometimes people come and they're attached to a particular service, and maybe don't want to take up other types of service with more surrender because of that doubt in the heart?
They don't find satisfaction in the service they're doing. They don't find it. They feel like, I'm doing it, but it's too mechanical and it's supposed to be really joyful and happiness, but I can't. And some other people, they pick it up really quickly.
That's why it always takes guidance, to the best of my understanding, perhaps. Some more senior devotees can give insight in that. That's really the point I was hoping to emphasize here, is that it's not just a matter of doing it ourselves and wondering, well, why is it not, why am I not happy, or why is this, why is that? But it takes guidance, and that means submitting our mind and senses to really the judgment of someone who might know better. It might be that certain services don't fit with our psychophysical nature. It's the prerogative of an expert spiritual master to recognize the psychophysical nature of the disciple and engage them in a service which is, you know, first and foremost conducive, and then gradually we come to, you know, complete surrender. But that takes guidance, you know. We might think, oh, I like to play music, and so I'll just do that for Krishna. And so you can just do that for so many years, but then you might not be feeling that complete overwhelming satisfaction in the heart. Or you might not know why, that perhaps you need something that involves more surrender. You need to be guided into a service which is more conducive for that. Does that kind of answer the question? Hopefully some Prabhus have more.
Yes, I just had one question, and that was in the first of all, thank you very much. You made a lot of very wonderful points.
Thank you.
And one of them had to do with the area of doubts, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was very doubtful that when he first saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was the Supreme Lord. He thought he was a very ecstatic and very advanced sadhu, or sannyasi. So what was the, and I'm sure a lot of devotees here are, you put us in suspense, but you didn't fulfill this suspense, unless I didn't hear you. What was the final blow which convinced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Gopinath Acharya gave his arguments, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he didn't say, yes, I accept all your arguments, he is the Supreme Lord. What he said is that because Gopinath Acharya was a bit on the angry side, and therefore Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had mentioned that, well, you don't have to get so excited, we're just having a friendly discussion. You see, so a little later, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did get convinced, and I wonder if you would like to share that with us, which was the clincher, which was indisputable, and which there could be no further argument, and which very few people get that form of proof.
To keep it short, because it is an incredible conversation, highly recommend reading about the epistemology and the pedagogy of Krishna consciousness, Madhyalila chapter 6. That basically Gopinath Acharya made the argument, it's by the Lord's mercy that you can understand Him. It's not just that you've studied the Vedas, but when the Lord is merciful to you, that's the part that's hard for us, to accept that it's up to Krishna, really. So he quotes the famous verse from Lord Brahma, Atapite deva param bhujadaya prasad leshana grahita eva he chanati tattvam bhagavan mahim no na chanyame kopi charam vichinvan. If one just gets a slight particle, a trace, a microscopic bit of the mercy of the Lord's lotus feet, then he can be understood. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks an incredible question. He says, what is the evidence that you've received the mercy of the Lord? And that's like a really cool philosophical subject. We don't really have so much time to go into. But what ultimately convinced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is that because he was related to Gopinath Acharya, because he had rendered some service to the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took compassion upon him and did just what Gopinath Acharya said. He got the mercy. And so, as you know from the story, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to educate Lord Chaitanya in the Vedanta Sutra and sat him down for 7 days and lectured to him. And then they had a discussion on the Atmarama verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so impressed by Lord Chaitanya's explanation of the Atmarama verse that he became overwhelmed, and then Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as the Supreme Person of Godhead. But there's other points that I'm missing, it seems Archie Tipu would like to point out.
Just one other one I'd like to mention, and that is, it seemed to me that the final blow, the final clincher for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that Lord Chaitanya gave him, as you just mentioned, the mercy, but what kind of mercy? Different kinds. One, of course, he enlightened his understanding, but he did more than that. He gave them the experience of his form as Lord Vishnu. He saw him as Vishnu. And then after that, he reduced it to the two-armed form of Lord Krishna. And after that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so blissed out, so ecstatic, that he immediately uttered 100 verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. This is a very special, very unusual, not something that anyone and everyone can necessarily expect. No harm in hoping for it, but expecting it is quite a...
Thank you, Prabhuji. Seems Archita would like to add something.
In the context of this conversation that we're hearing in this chapter of the seventh canto, your answer seems to increase the doubt rather than decrease it. In other words, you're saying, if you get the mercy of the Lord, and that's exactly what Parikshit is asking. It seems that some people get it and some don't. It seems whimsical. But actually, the mercy of the Lord is there for everyone. This is the point that Prabhupada is making. It's just like the sunshine. It's always there. It's up to you to go out and get warm. If you stay locked up, you can't blame the sun that, hey, I'm still cold. Go outside. Mm-hmm. So the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, is there for everyone. But you have to go out and get contact with Krishna's devotee, because that's how it's delivered. And that's how Sarvabhauma was delivered, because he had contact with Gopinath Acharya, who was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So it's up to us to make that, like we have Prabhupada. Like you're saying, Prabhupada's books are there. You should read them and act accordingly. It's not just about reading them or knowing the knowledge in them. I've told a story many times about the man in Laguna Beach. He knew the Bhagavad Gita entirely. I tested him. I know quite a bit of the Bhagavad Gita. He knew it. He knew the whole book, but he was not a devotee of Krishna. That's what Mahavishnu Maharaj pointed out to me, because I was impressed. The guy knows the entire Gita. But Mahavishnu Maharaj pointed out he's not a devotee. So what's the use? He had not yet gotten that mercy of Krishna coming through a devotee. So it's not just about knowledge, knowing the entire CC or Srimad Bhagavatam or the entire Vedic literature. If you don't have that personal contact of devotee mercy, or the Lord's mercy coming down through a devotee, then you're not going to change your heart. Your heart's not going to change.
Thank you.
Of service, you have to have a spiritual master and you have to surrender to that spiritual master. Whether it's Srila Prabhupada directly in our case or Srila Prabhupada's representative, when that connection is made, then that's when the mercy flows. It's like when we use the example of electricity. You can stick your finger in so many holes, but when you put it in the right hole, then the juice flows. So when you're connected to Krishna through the right parampara and in the right mood, then the mercy flows and then everything is solved.
You know, there's a few more hands going up, but we do have to rush down to Laguna Beach, a lot of us today, so maybe we can... Okay, Prem, we'll speak very fast.
Say about doubt, you know, externally, this is my case actually, you can perform some service that is very pleasing to Krishna, like book distribution, but on my own realization, I still have doubts in my heart, different kind of doubts, and I really need a lot of study of Srila Prabhupada books. This is one of the reasons, you know, so you externally can be very, you know, very fixed in a service, but internally your heart still have a lot of impurity and desire for sense gratification, and they can lead you to fall down. So you have to actually study Srila Prabhupada books. This is my realization.
Hare Krishna. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gau Premanandi. Sukarupa Prabhu ki jai.